I hope everybody's doing well today. Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
Glad to be in God's house today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It is good to see everybody. We are starting part three of a series entitled The Miracles of Jesus. Just to kind of recap a little bit, the first week we talked about how to prepare yourself to receive the miracle, to receive whatever miracle it is you're praying about. And one of the points we stressed was that in order for you to receive a miracle from Jesus, you've got to be a vessel that can receive that miracle. You've got to be living your life to the point where Jesus can bring that miracle into existence in your life. Last week we talked about the very first miracle that Jesus performed, and that was the miracle of turning the water into wine. And we talked about some of the significances of that. Today we're going to talk about the last real miracle that Jesus performed before he actually was crucified here. And that is the feeding of the 4 and 5,000. There's two different accounts here. We're going to look at these accounts briefly from all of the different Gospels here. Because this is the only miracle Jesus actually performed that was actually spoken of in all four of the Gospels. So we're going to take a look at those today. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I mean, you're glad we got God's Word to lean on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is certainly a good thing to have. And I know this, that it's not going to do you wrong. If you'll read it every day, you'll learn how to live your life the right way and the way that God wants you to live it.
Amen.
I encourage you to do that, because there is an old saying that dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. And I really believe there's a lot to that saying. So I want to encourage you to get in God's Word each and every day and grow in it. Not just read it to be reading it so you can check it off on your bulletin. Not your bulletin, on your offering envelope or whatever. But reading it to understand what it is God has in store for you and what He wants from you. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to read the first few verses out of John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto them, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would have. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. I just pray now, God, that your Holy Spirit will descend upon this part of our service. Lord, speak the message you have to be spoken today, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, we're focusing today on the feeding of the 4 and 5,000. Now, these are two different accounts here. Both happened in the four Gospels. Two of the Gospels record this as being the feeding of the 4,000. The other Gospels record the feeding of the 5,000. Both of them happen because Jesus references both of them in one of the four Gospels as he's speaking, in reference to his disciples believing the miracle that he had worked. So both of them actually happen, one with 5,000, one with 4,000. Now, before we start embarking on this today, I want to be sure you understand this. That was 4,000 men and 5,000 men, not counting the women and children that were present also. So see, the account is just really talking about the men that were present. So you got to figure,
We're probably talking about easily 10 to 12,000 people that Jesus was going to end up feeding here, which was quite a significant number here, quite a large number. And guys, I don't know about you, but trying to feed 10,000 people, that seems like an overwhelming task, doesn't it? Miss Carol, you feed a few hundred a day. That's hard enough, right? But imagine 12,000 people, 10 or 12,000 people. But Jesus already had a plan. He already knew what he was going to do. And I want to talk to you today about some of the significances of this miracle and some of the symbolism we can take away from it, because when I decided to do this study on the miracles of Jesus, I wanted it to be from a perspective of what can we take away from what Jesus is doing here. Not just the fact that he broke the bread and broke the fish and kept dividing and handing it out, but what was some of the symbolism that was stood for here in this miracle? Guys, this is the only miracle, like I said, that's included in all the Gospels. This is the only miracle that's included in all the Gospels. We're going to look at some details from all four of the Gospels that we can kind of tie together and get the overall message that I believe Jesus was trying to send when he fed these people. One of the things I want you to remember is Jesus is not going to let you go hungry, whether it be physically or spiritually. You're going to get fed if you're his child. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to get fed. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you. Okay? Hebrews 13:5 says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Jesus is with you from the moment you accept him as your Lord and Savior. He is not going to let you go hungry, whether it be spiritually or physically. Amen? He's not going to do it. You see, in this account here, in Matthew's account, which is what we're going to start with first, there were 5,000 men plus an undetermined amount of women and children that were present here. Now, these people came to hear Jesus. Some of you may say, "Well, I thought the Jews were against Jesus." No, just the religious leaders were against Jesus. Many, many people followed Jesus and came to know Jesus as their Savior. It was the religious leaders of the day that were against Jesus. So you've got multitudes of people that were following him everywhere he went. Every miracle he performed drew even more and more people to see who this Jesus really was. So here's a large crowd here. A bunch of them that were there. And as the evening approached, his disciples were becoming concerned. They were like, "Okay, Lord, how are we going to feed all of these people? How are we going to feed all these people? We don't have enough to give them." They were looking around, and the best they could say, Jesus told them, he said, "Hey, you know, what have we got to eat here?" He said, "Well, look, we found somebody that's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good's that going to do? That wouldn't even be enough but for maybe 1 or 2 people at the most. But look, Jesus said, "Hey, bring them to me." You know what Jesus was saying right there? Nothing is too great for me. You bring me what you got and see what I'm fixing to do here. Isn't that what he does in our lives? You come as you are and you see what he can do to you. You see what he can transform you into if you'll just let him. Because he can take an old wore out vessel and he can make it beautiful again. Amen. He can do it if you'll just give him the opportunity to do it in your life. So he brings the fish. The guys bring the fish to him, bring the loaves to him. Now these were just little flat cakes of bread. These weren't like big loaves of bread like you might be thinking about. So we're not talking about a huge amount of bread or certainly not a huge amount of fish. The fish were most likely like dried up sardines. How many of you like sardines in here? Anybody? They stink, don't they? They don't smell good. Amen. Every time I crack open a can of them, the whole house gets aromatic. But not in a positive way, let me say that. But I do love them, though. Good mustard sauce, some crackers, you know. Maybe even hot sauce on them every now and then. But they do smell bad. But anyhow, that's probably what these fish were. So Jesus takes them and begins to give thanks and begins to break them. And it's just like it just kept multiplying. Could you imagine being there seeing that miracle? Seeing as Jesus broke these fish in two, here comes another whole fish, and then another one, and then another one, and the bread is just multiplying as he broke it in two. That would be an awesome miracle to see, wouldn't it? That would be just crazy. I can't imagine being able to witness that. But guys, when it was over, Not only did he just make sure those 5,000 men plus the women and children that were there were fed, there were 12 baskets
of pieces left over. 12 whole baskets of pieces left over. There was more than enough. There was an abundance enough of food to eat there. Now, guys, I believe there's some symbolism here I want to talk to you about for just a minute in these numbers here. Let's look at this for just a second. The number 5, as in the 5 at the beginning of 5,000, there's some symbolism to that as well. The number 5, basically, when used biblically, is often in conjunction or in a context of a manifestation of the grace of God. So the number 5 can indicate a manifestation of God's grace fixing to be poured out. Now, certainly, when Jesus began to break and thank God and break these pieces, there was definitely a manifestation of God that was showing up here that day. So the number 5 can indicate that. The number 2 is the number of witness. It's a number of witness. You know, Jesus said he sent out his disciples 2 by 2, right? So the number 2 is a number that stands for witness. How many fish were there? There were 2 fish. As witness unto what Jesus was about to do here. He was about to manifest himself in performing this miracle, this great miracle in front of all these people. Now, how many baskets were left over?
12.
The number 12 in and of itself is a number of government and often refers to Israel as well. So the number 12 is indicative of maybe the 12 tribes of Israel that are all often spoke of in God's word. So here we have 3 different numbers that were used in this miracle that all have biblical meaning, that all have symbolism that could be used for this particular story that we're reading here. And if you add to the fact that Jesus refers to himself in John chapter 6, verse 35 as the bread of life given for us, that makes it make even more sense, right? If Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, why wouldn't he take bread to give life-sustaining food to this large number of people? So you see, there was some symbolism in what took place here today. By the grace of God, you'll be spiritually fed as the bread of life gives himself to you guys. Jesus is our bread of life. He is there to feed us physically and spiritually. You say, well, preacher, how does God feed us? Well, if you're his child and you're living for him, he's already promised to take care of your basic needs, right? That is food, clothing, and shelter. And I've said this before. I didn't see anybody walking up in here today. I don't believe anybody's living just outside in the elements, and everybody here looks fairly well fed. Some more than others, but everyone's well fed. Amen. I'm including myself in that some more than others group, okay? I can at least button my coat now. A year or two ago, I couldn't even button it. Amen. But guys, God's going to take care of us. He is the bread of life. He is that life-sustaining entity that gives us the ability to go on with our lives and to serve him and do everything we can for him. Let's look at Mark's account for a minute. Now, in Mark's account, we see Jesus miraculously feeding 4,000 men, not to count the women and children in this particular account. In this account, there were 7 loaves, and there was a mention of a few fish. There was not a specific number of fish mentioned. It said, and a few fish. So you got to figure a few, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 maybe. Who knows? But it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot. But there were 7 loaves in this particular story right here. Once again, Jesus made it sufficient for all. And when it was over, there were how many basketfuls left in this account? 7. There were 7 basketfuls left. So in the first account in Matthew, we had 5,000 men, not counting the women and children who were fed. There were 12 basketfuls left over. In this account, about 1,000 less probably here, but 7 basketfuls still left. So in other words, what can we take away from this? Jesus will give us abundantly if we're faithful to him. If we serve him, he's going to make sure. He says, I have come to bring you life, and he wants us to have it abundantly. He doesn't want us to just have a little bit of it. He wants us to live the abundant life. How many of you are glad that we can live abundantly in Christ? Amen. I'm glad I can do that. I'm glad I can stand up here every Sunday and say, look,
I am living the abundant life that Jesus has given me. It's not always been an easy one, but it's been a blessed one, amen. It's been one that I can say, thank you, Jesus, for letting me go through. And I hope and pray He'll let me continue to go there.
Now let's look at some numbers in this particular account here that I think are very significant as well. The number 4 is the number of the earth. Because by day 4, the creation of earth was complete by God. So the number 4 was the completion of earth. The number 7 now denotes divine completion. Because guys, on the 7th day, God's creation was finished and God rested from all His work. So we have 7 basketfuls left here that fed these few fish and these 5 loaves of bread here, 7 loaves of bread, fed all of these people. And there was still enough left over. Guys, this symbolism here denotes that Jesus was giving Himself to all the earth. And there's plenty for everyone's spiritual hunger to be completely satisfied. Jesus had enough to make sure everyone was satisfied here. The symbolism we can take away, Jesus is never going to run out in the lives of His children. He's never going to run out. He's going to always be able to supply us with everything we need, according to His riches in glory. Isn't that great to know? That as long as you got Jesus, you're never going to run out of somebody that loves you unconditionally, somebody that's going to take care of you, somebody that's going to provide for you, that's going to counsel you and guide you and be right there with you as you go through life's journeys. That's a great thing, isn't it?
Amen.
To know that Jesus is going to be there and He's going to supply you and me. You know, many scholars see this miracle being Gentile in focus. Now, I'm talking about the feeding of the 4,000. While the feeding of the 5,000 was more aimed at Israel. But guys, because there were 2 different accounts here, when you put the 2 together, basically what we're seeing here is, hey, there's enough of Jesus for the entire world, both Jew and Gentile. There's enough of Him. We can view this as a witness to both the Jews and the Gentiles. You see, Jesus came to bring the opportunity for salvation to the Gentiles as well, not just to the Jews. So with both of these accounts of 2 different feedings, 2 different mass feedings here, we can see some symbolism here that, hey, this was representative of both the Jew and the Gentile. Jesus had enough for everybody. He wasn't going to limit anyone. He wasn't going to single out anybody. Now, when we look in Luke's account, he adds an important piece of information that was the location of this miracle. In Luke's account, we find out that this miracle occurred near a place called Bethsaida. Bethsaida. Now, the name Bethsaida is usually translated as house of fishing. That makes sense, right? Jesus is going to perform a miracle close to a town that's referred to as the house of fishing, which was near the Sea of Galilee, which was one of the most large fishing areas in that whole part of the world. Fishing was a big industry there. So you see, the tone was set by the city that Jesus chose to feed these people close to, Bethsaida. Now, if you want to take it a step further, and I found this kind of interesting here, you know, Jesus has to have a sense of humor too, right? I mean, look, He created us, right? He's got to have a sense of humor, right? I mean, look at us. Look at us. He's got to have a sense of humor. Now, if you take the Hebrew root words that make up Bethsaida and you break them down, look at what you find here. Beth is Hebrew for house. Beth is Hebrew for house, and Saed literally means box lunch. Now think about that. Jesus fed all of these people in a place near the house of the box lunch. That's crazy, isn't it? Maybe that's where fast food originated. Who knows? Amen. Maybe this is where the fast food industry began.
Because here is a place where Jesus performed this great miracle. It was near a big fishing community. And literally the root words, the Hebrew root words mean house of box lunch. Now, you think that's a coincidence?
I don't know, but I think God had a purpose. I think Jesus had a purpose here.
Everything Jesus does has a purpose, amen. You may not believe it. You may say, well, I don't understand why you did that, God.
But you know what? God doesn't make mistakes, amen.
He
never makes mistakes. He's always on time, and His timing is always the right timing. We're the ones that get impatient. We're the ones that think things should have been better when they weren't. But all things work together for good.
Amen.
To those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
That means that it doesn't matter how bad things get in your life, God's going to work something good out of it if you're His child.
Amen.
And if you believe that, if you look for... You know why people don't see more good in the world? They don't look for it. People don't look for the good in the world. People are satisfied to say, oh, this is a terrible world we live in. Well, what about the good parts of it? Do you look for the good stuff? Do you look for the people that are really reaching out and caring for people and taking care of people? Or are we always just caught up in the bad? If you want to see good, you got to look for it. It's there. But I agree, it's covered up by a lot of the bad in this world.
Now, John's version, and we're almost done here today, says that the event took place near the time of the Passover, which explains why the grass was green, as referred to in this account. It was basically springtime.
What do we think of when we think of spring?
Newness.
We think of growth and newness and life. Jesus wanted these people to know, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father but by me. Sit down and I'm going to feed you today. I'm going to feed you physically and I'm going to feed you spiritually here today. Right on this grassy hill, because you're fixing to have a new beginning if you come to know me as your Savior.
Amen.
That's what He's trying to tell the people here. We see from John's account, though, also how His disciples were a lot like us. Because look at what they say.
With all the power of the universe in their midst, they could only devise a response based on their own capability.
In other words, well, where are we going to get this amount of food from, Lord? Guys, this wasn't His first miracle. This was His last miracle before He ended up getting crucified. Don't you think they'd seen enough of what Jesus was capable of doing, but they still were wondering, how can you feed this many people? Forget about raising Lazarus from the dead. Forget about making the deaf hear and the lame walk and the turning the water into wine. How are you going to do this one, Lord? Isn't that the way that we think sometimes? We limit what God can really do by our own understanding. What does the Bible say? Lean not on your own understanding. For our ways are not His ways. You cannot understand the mind of God. He's always a step ahead. And He's always moving in the right direction.
So guys, the disciples were just leaning on their own capability as to what could happen.
Well, we'll have to go out and try to buy this food. It'd take a year's wages to buy enough food to even give them a little bit.
But then some of the people reacted by saying, hey, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world, they said. But guess what?
It wasn't too far later from that in John chapter 6, verse 26, where Jesus basically accused them of only following Him because He fed them. You know, that's true sometimes, isn't it? The only reason people come and get involved with the church is because of the bells and whistles that the church can offer. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the wrong motive to come to a church for. You should never come to a church to worship the living God because of something they have to offer that's outside the ordinary from other churches. I'm not saying those things aren't good, and I love them myself. But if that's all I'm coming to church for, I'm coming with the wrong reason and for the wrong reason. Amen? I'm coming for the wrong reason. And Jesus was recognizing here a pattern starting to form. Hey, I think you guys are just coming around and hanging around me because you expect me to do something great for you every time you come. How about coming and serving me just because you love me? How about serving me because it's the right thing to do? Not because you should expect something in return. Guys, if you want your life to be fulfilled serving the Lord, Don't expect him to do something great all the time in your life. Thank him for the bad things that happen in your life, because those are the things that are going to teach you something. Amen. You don't learn when everything goes your way. You learn when you get knocked down on the ground and you're facing up, and the only way you can look is up. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, I'm going to tell you what. If I hadn't been knocked flat on my face a few times in my life, I wouldn't know how to look up. And I wouldn't know who to look up to. I'm telling you, you need to thank God for those rough times in your life. Because those are the times that have made you into the person you are today. Some of you may say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, guess what? I'm not either. I'm still a work in progress. But I'm moving in the right direction. And that's what's important. God wants you to move toward Him. Not away from Him. Always move toward Him. And guys, I want to close out by saying this. Within these accounts of those miraculous feedings, guys, we see the gospel story told in a truly practical manner here. We see it told in a practical manner. By giving His Son, our God brings life to all His people. Both the Jew and the Gentile, completely satisfying our spiritual hunger and sustaining us through the power of His Word. Guys, that was the whole purpose for what Jesus did here. To let the people see His power and for them to understand, I will give you the bread of life. I will feed you something that not only on this day will help you physically, but I'm going to give you something that will help you spiritually. And another little neat note to think about is this. What is bread? It's a carbohydrate, right? What do carbohydrates do for us? They energize us. Carbohydrates are where we get the majority of our energy. Wasn't it fitting that God used something that would energize us to show how much energy He wants to put in us and give us? And what about the fish? Fish are protein. You know what protein does for us? It rebuilds us. It gives us staying power. It helps us overcome adversity. You couldn't have asked for two better symbols, could you, that Jesus used on this day? Some of you say, well, preacher, Jesus would never do a miracle like that again. You're never going to see Him feed 4,000 or 5,000 people at one time. He feeds more than that every day. You know how He does it? Through all the food banks in America. Through all the food pantries in America. Jesus is still feeding His people on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
He's feeding way more than any 4,000 or 5,000 people. How about millions of people every day get fed because of the generosity of God-fearing people that have taken that as a part of their ministry to make sure the homeless are taken care of, to make sure that people are being fed. So don't tell me Jesus isn't still feeding many, many, many people every day. He is. You don't see Him walking around grabbing barley loaves and fish and breaking them apart, but guess what? He's reaching the people that can do it for Him. Praise God for that. Amen.
Amen.
So He's still at work. People say, well, Jesus doesn't still do all these miracles. You know, these were just stories in the Bible. Yeah, these are stories in the Bible that help us understand the power of God. But He's still doing them.
Yeah.
Oh, He's still performing miracles. You can rest assured of that. And He's using a lot of different avenues to do it with. The question I want to ask you today, guys, as we close is this. Are you getting spiritually fed? I think our physical needs are being met here in this group of believers we have here today. But are your spiritual needs being met? Are you being fed spiritually? Because guys, I want to tell you something. We're all works in progress. We all need to be fed spiritually every day of our lives. You cannot wake up one day in your life and turn away from God and expect to be spiritually filled that day. You need to wake up praising God. You need to eat lunch praising God. You need to go to bed praising God.
Amen.
And when you've done that, you will have been spiritually fed through all the normal meal times in your day. Not only physically fed, but spiritually fed as well. And no matter what you do, always remember this. Jesus loves you. There's nothing you can do that God won't forgive you for. There's nothing you can't do that will make Him love you any less. So why don't we want to give Him our very best?
Why don't we want to live for Him every day as though it is our last day here on this earth? If everyone would start living their life like this may be your last day on earth, we'd be a better people, wouldn't we? Because we'd start thinking about the things that are important. We wouldn't be thinking about our own self and our own selfish desires. We'd be thinking about the needs of others. So live life as though it might be your last day on this earth. And give God the glory for feeding you spiritually every day that you come to His table and sit down to eat.
Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for all these miraculous things You've shown us, Lord. And You're still the same God today as You were back in these days when Jesus was performing these miracles, Lord. You're still doing the same thing today. You use a lot of different avenues today, and I just pray that You'll use each and every one of us here in this congregation today to create a ministry, to continue in a ministry, to be a part in a ministry of things that You're doing around us and through us, Lord. Lord, I pray today that if anybody needs to come up to this altar and just lay anything down, Lord, just pray for that spiritual feeding that we all need. And Father God, if there's anybody here today that needs to know You as their Savior, that has any doubts of whether they know You as their Savior, I pray, God, this will be the day that they'll come and find You as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that we haven't done anything that was offensive to You today, Lord, but only that which will lift You up and glorify You, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
Hymn 474.
Hymn number 474. Let's stand and sing hymn number 474.